Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird, form and answer. Jesus gave the key.
Today? The pace of change can be confusing. Then again, it can be inspiring. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you build the self-confidence and decision-making skills it takes to thrive on change. Fight change with change. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here today, gone today? The pace of change can be confusing. Then again, it can be inspiring. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you build the self-confidence and decision-making skills it takes to thrive on change. Fight change with change. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Lift him up, lift the Savior up for men to see. This is Glory United Ministries, Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott, bringing you joy and happiness with the sermon, the message from the woman on divine assignment, Pastor Patricia Benjamin, whose voice will be the very next one you hear. So welcome, welcome, welcome once again. We're glad you're with us.
Come on! Good morning, people of God. It is a wonderful day here in New York. I thank God for heat, food, clothing, shelter. I thank God because as I watched the news on yesterday in New York, and they were out passing out blankets and coats to those that choose to live on the land and choose not to go into a shelter for fear. They feel as though that they are safer outside. They'll take their chances with a wild pit bull running loose that might attack them rather than to go in the shelter. One man said, I have stage 3 cancer, and I don't have long to be here, but while I'm here, I want to be at peace, so I will take my chances against the cold, frigid temperatures. There's not much left to me now, so I'm not really worried about it. But if you would just give me another coat and a blanket, I'll make my way to my haven, to where I can lay down and rest. And someone asked him, said, well, why is it as cold as it is that you won't go into a facility that's warm? He says, I've been in those and they steal and they fight, and I don't have time for that. I'll take my chances out here. But we serve a God, a mighty God. I hope that the news can catch up with him and let us know that he survived the frigid cold temperatures here in New York. But if not, to God be the glory. I want to thank God this morning for Jesus, and I thank him for life, health, and strength. I thank him because he is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my everything. I thank him for his love. I thank him for his blood. I thank him that he shed his blood on Calvary's cross for you and I, for cold nights, cold days, and for all that he has done for us. Yes, I thank God that the sun is shining. Somewhere you can get in the sun. I know yesterday I had driven to an area here in New York, and it was cold. And the way I parked my car when I came out, when I came out of the store, my car was warm because the sun was beaming through the windshield. I spoke on that on Sunday, how it could be zero outside. But if you find the sun, if it's shining, and put yourself in the sun, it will help you, as cold as it is, it will help you feel the warmth that it gives. The sun always gives her warmth. I don't care how cold it may be outside. The sun gives her warmth. No, she's not as hot as she was or would be in July. But find the sun. I'm not going to read do the sermon again. I preach Sunday. There's a difference between the S-U-N and the S-O-N. But you're blessed if you have them both, the S-O-N, Jesus, and the S-U-N, a creation of God, where God made the heavens and the earth, the moon and the stars and the sun. He did it. God did it. And I don't think the Lord had Frank Sinatra in mind when he created the universe. Mm-mm. Frank Sinatra was there because all of us were there, because the scripture let us know while we were yet sinners. We were all sinners. Christ died for us. Why did he die for me? I wasn't here. Ah, oh, but you was in the plan to get to planet Earth. So the Lord knew about Frank Sinatra before Frank Sinatra knew about Frank Sinatra. But Frank took the words and said, I did it my way. What is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels and the words of the one who kneels. I may not have all the lines in the right direction, but these are the words that's in that particular song that he sang, I did it my way. And he went on to say, there are times when I knew that I bit off more than I could chew. That's something. When you know that you have bitten off more than you can chew, just imagine biting, taking a mouthful of something and you're not able to work with it with your teeth and your tongue. And you realize then, hey, I have bitten off more than I can chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I stood tall. I faced it all. I did it my way. Well, when God sees his creation, that's the moon, the stars, the universe, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. When he looks at earth and sees the earth, when he looks at the water and sees his water that he created, when he looks at you and me, no matter how messed up I may be, people will say, I just don't understand her. She got a strange way about her. Or they'll say that about a man. I've heard that spoken several times. I don't understand him. He's strange. He's got a strange way about him. He seems to be happy when he's making someone else's life miserable. I don't understand him at all. But when God sees you as messed up as you are, or as messed up as you may be, because you can get there, he'll look and say to his son, Jesus, the S-O-N, I did it my way. Oh, my. I did it my way. You know, I love the Lord because with me, I never know what my sermon is. I never know what the message will be. I don't have an idea. I know I can search the scriptures because the Bible tells us search the scriptures because in them you have life. And I can go and I can search the scriptures. But when I began to talk, God himself gives me what to say at that moment. He words my mouth with what needs to be said. As I spoke to Dr. Scott and a dear friend of mine who went home to be with the Lord, Bishop James Davis, A. Davis, West Palm Beach, Florida. If you've listened to the broadcast, you've heard his voice several times on with me. And I said, Lord, you took my friend home last year in March, Pastor Marva Henry. And I said, now, God, this year you've taken Bishop Davis home, but we were friends, but God is still here. And that's all that matters. But Dr. Scott and I was talking this morning, and he said to me on last evening that my voice is heard in many places, many countries, because Blog Talk lets him know who's listening. They may not be on, he said, while you're on the air. You may not have an audience clapping their hand and saying, amen, go ahead, speak the word. But he said they go in, ah, God, I thank you. And they pull up a sermon and they listen. That's why it is very important. And as I spoke to my friend Bishop Davis, I said, I don't want to use the airway to bash people. Yes, I know the Bible said, show a transgressor his way. Show him their sin. And I know that is the word of God. But you know, my grandfather and them had a saying, you can't scale the fish until you catch the fish. And when you catch the fish, you still cannot scale the fish because he's not secured. Because he can slip right through your hands and end up back in the water. So grandfather said, once you catch him and take the hook out of his mouth and you have him secured in your hand and life in him stop moving, then you're able to scale the fish. I'd rather tell you about the love of Jesus and let that draw you to Jesus. And then once you make that change in your mind, then we can teach you that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You'll be ready to receive that. But if I jump out here, start hollering, you're going to hell, you're living like this, you're living like that, you're on your way to hell, God don't like you, God not pleased with you, that would turn me off too. It would let me know that, well, why do I want this guy? You're telling me on one hand he's all this and love and he loves me and he cares about me, he cares what happened to me, and come on, and then now you're going to jump me and tell me he don't like me because I messed up? No. He lets us know that our sins separate us from him. And no, he's not pleased when we do things contrary to the word of God. When he tells us in his word, thou shalt not, and we do what we shall not do. That doesn't please him, but he still loves us. And yes, he said, because of sin, we're not able to enter into the kingdom. And it's not his doing, it's our own doing, because he said, choose ye this day who you will serve. Who will you serve? Will you serve man or will you serve God? Man being the devil, will you serve the devil or will you serve God? Will you become a soldier in the army of the Lord, or will you choose to do like Frank Sinatra and say, I'm going to do it my way? No one can tell me where I can go, what I can say, what I can do, because I'm an adult now. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. I work. I take care of myself, and I will do it my way. I'm not thinking about those church folks. I don't care that much about God either, because he took my grandfather when I was a little boy. He took my mother. At the time of my birth, I never saw my mother. I never had anyone to breastfeed me. I don't care that much about God. And now that I'm grown, I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what the church folks say. But it's your choice. He has given you the right to choose life more abundantly or not. Well, we thank God for Jesus thank Jesus for the blood. I just wanted to explain that some of you super church folk might listen and say, well, she's not telling them holiness or hell. But my Bible that I read tells me that there is a time and a season for all things. I want to teach the love of Jesus on the air. If I was in your presence where you could see me and I could see you, then I could go more in depth teaching you how you are supposed to be living your life, a life free from sin, a life that's dedicated and sold out to Jesus Christ. But I first want to get your attention. And I want you to feel this love. No greater love have no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. As much as I love my mother, and I do love her dearly, I would have to take a second look at whether her life or mine. I don't know if I would lay down my life so that she could continue. But Jesus laid down his life. He said, no man taketh my life. I give my life. As much as a husband might claim he loves his wife, I don't know too many of them that would step in front of a bullet. As much as a wife may love her husband, I don't know too many of them would step in front of a train to save their life. But Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. So therefore, Jesus can say, I did it the way of my Father, because my Father said, because I've taken on a sin nature to live as a human on this earth, I had to go by way of the cross to redeem man back to my Father and for me to return back home as pure as pure can be. Because the sin that Jesus encountered for us, he said, why have you forsaken me? For a moment, God looked away, because God doesn't like sin. Because God knows what sin does to us. I had the privilege of speaking with a 15-year-old on last evening. In fact, it kept me up later than I had planned to be. It was going on 12 when I got finished talking with this young man who's 15 years old. And I said, why are you going down the path that you're going? Don't you know that the devil don't like you? He sets up things in your head to make you feel like it's okay. It's my thing. I can do what I want to do. And it's funny how Bing Crosby came out, Frank Sinatra came out with I Did It My Way, and I think it was the Isley Brothers, I'm not sure, I don't know if I can go that far back, but came out with It's Your Thing, Do What You Want to Do. But when you have decided to follow Jesus, your life is hidden with Christ, and you seek to please him. Yes, you can be normal and human, but you still, what is that slogan? WWJD, what would Jesus do? That's it. That's what they used to say years ago, WWJD. Well, when you accept him in the fullness, you become a WWJD Christian. You should, anyhow. What would Jesus do? No, you don't have to get up in the morning and say, Lord, would you have this cup of coffee now? Or would you have some orange juice and go out the door? Or would you take a shower? Or would you just put on clothes? Now, come on here. We're not talking about that foolishness. But what would Jesus do? Would you give a man that's hungry a piece of bread? Would you do like the authorities was doing yesterday in New York, giving a man a coat and a blanket to brace the cold? What would Jesus do at such a time as this? Cold, bitter cold outside. Would he turn his back and say, hey, it's warm, I got heat in my patrol car? Would he turn his back and say, look, my household has heat. There's no pipes busted over there. When I get off here, I'm going to get out my warm car, walk out the warm office where I sign out at, and or clock out, however way you want to use the term. It all means you're leaving. And go home to my warm house. Would you turn your back? What would Jesus do? See a man that's hungry. What would Jesus do? Would you feed him? Jesus said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was sick, you didn't visit me. What would Jesus do? He was our perfect, and he is our perfect example for life today. Would you look for someone standing in front of 7-Eleven and standing in front of Wawa's or standing at KS store or whatever? Would you look for someone that need a morsel of bread or a coat to put on their back in this frigid weather? And yet we sing, what a mighty God we serve. I can't give that man a coat. He don't go to church. Wow. What kind of reward are you expecting? I can't give her a coat because she's shacking up. Her man should buy her a coat or give her a coat. She's not my responsibility. Let me look for someone over here who already has a coat and let me give them a coat. Shame on you. Dr. Scott, this is not my message. It wasn't what I was looking at. But, however, I yield the right of way to Jesus. When I get on this airwave called Blog Talk Radio, I let Pastor Benjamin or Pastor Patricia, Pastor Pat, or Sister Pat, Bishop Davis called me Sister Pat, Evangelist Pat, and Pastor Pat. He, whatever one came to his mind first, that's the one he used. But Pastor Pat yield the right of way. I let, when I dial Blog Talk, I let me decrease and I let him increase. Because I don't know who this word has to help other than myself. See, because don't think for 1 minute that I'm preaching to you that the word hasn't come to me first, that I be in line with what I'm talking about so it make an effect and a difference when you hear it. But I yield the right of way to the Christ, Jesus Christ, the S-O-N of the living God. I yield. There is a song, and I don't know if we have it in the loop, but Dr. Scott, the song goes, I think it's Ernest Pugh, I'm not sure. I give myself away so that you can use me. Sometimes I get names all mixed up, you know, but he you know, I don't even have the right title sometimes. I may have what the chorus is of the song, and that's not the title, so you got to bear with me. But I dealt with a lot of choir members and a lot of church folks and musicians. So if I said there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, they know what song I was talking about. Sometimes I feel sorry for Dr. Scott because that is not even the title of the song. But we get there. I give myself away so that you can use me. And that's what I'm saying to you today. It's important to give yourself away so that the Lord can use you. You're his hands. You're his feet. You're his eyes. You're his voice crying in the wilderness. Give yourself away. Woo! Ah, I feel, my God, today, Dr. Scott, I feel the anointing in my nostrils. Usually I feel it in my ear or down my arm. It starts with my shoulder and run down my right arm. Or it will take my ear and it will feel as though I'm in the airplane where your ears stop up. God be speaking and I'm feeling his presence through that right ear, and I have a problem hearing. But when God speaks, that ear passage is clear and I hear him. And even then I make sure, because the enemy can disguise himself. So the only hope I have to hold on to is that he said, my sheep know my voice. And don't care how much the enemy disguises himself to make him think that he's God talking to you to tell you to curse God and die, you better know the difference in the voice. Job may have been sick, destitute, ready for the cemetery, but he knew that that was the devil's voice speaking through his wife when she said, Job cursed God and died for all the stuff that you're going through, all that we're dealing with. We're losing everything. See, she was a material wife. She wasn't a wife of the husband. She was a material wife for all of the wealth and everything that he supplied. And after the supplies were thinning out, she could not see beyond her own self. She too wrote the words before Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. I wasn't willing to watch my husband and I lose everything we had and still hold on to God. I was not willing to do that, Miss Job said. I don't need this God. Here, everything we have is just about gone. How are we going to manage with nothing? Well, that was a good question. But with God, all things are possible. That's when the miracle comes in. Sometimes he have to allow our nothing to come so that the miracle can come behind the nothing that we are dealing with. He allows that to take place. But here's the sad part to that story. Yet, oh, it seems sad that Job's flesh had fell from his bone, poor Job. And he's still trusting God. Well, that's what he said. I wasn't there, but that's what the scripture let me know in Job's gospel there. Read it for yourself. I'm not reading that today. Job's gospel said that Job's words were, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, let's put this in a different perspective. God was not slaying Job. He gave the devil permission to do what he do. He said to the devil that you can attack Job, but you don't have permission to take his life. You can't take his soul, Satan. I'm in control of that. But I give you permission to do whatever you feel is necessary to make Job forfeit on his promise. Lord, I'll trust you until I die. That's a promise. You're promising God, no matter what happens to me or my family, I'm going to trust you until I die. So the devil heard you say that out of your mouth, because he can hear it too, you know. So he said, God, please. Come on, come on, God. It's an upright man. He loves you. He lives for you. But God, if you would just, God, look, come on, God, cut it out, God, come on. Now, God, you know, me and you've been friends a long time. I was up in heaven with you. Shucks, I was in charge of the choir and the music and all of that. I was one of the good angels up in heaven, but you know how it is when you get heady and high-minded and you think you know how we children act. We think we know more than our parents, who has the experience to know more than us because they've been here longer and they've been down the path we're about to try to go down. So they're telling us don't go that way. Well, the devil felt like, look here, I'm just as high as God. I can do what he can do. Shucks. He ain't all that. I'm Lucifer. I got some powers too. He gave me power. Now I'm going to use it against him. So God had to show him who had the most power. So he kicked him out. But because God created, he loved him. He said, I'm going to put you out, but I'm going to let you see how many you can turn to you and go to hell. Because I have someone coming. I have someone coming that can take care of what you're trying to do. My son is going to come down. And he's going to redeem everyone that will come to him back to me. But because I gave you power, I'm going to have to. I had a small hell for a few people. You and your angels, your devils, your little imps and stuff running around, the enemies running around. But now that you're out here and you're turning so many of them with sex, with music, because some of this music will attack you. I recall, and this is a testimony, I recall dealing with a man, and I was so messed up until it felt as if the soap that I was bathing with was caressing my body, that it was just horrible. And to this day, I will not use that soap because it had me in a bad way. But see, that's what the enemy will do. But I was taught in my church as a child that if you would call unto the Lord, the saints of old would read stuff like that in church to us now. I don't know what they read. But anyway, they would read stuff like that to us. They would read not stuff. They would read the word of God to us and say, if you call on the Lord while he is near, he will come to your rescue. And I called on the Lord. I said, Lord, I need help. This is just a bar of soap. I need help, God. Help me get my mind back to where it should be. Because this ain't normal. This ain't real. I don't know who this message is going to help. But to God be the glory. It's helping me. Because I'm an overcomer. I overcame that. But I cried out to the Lord for help. And he didn't send it overnight. Sometime he can, he will, but I had to go through it just a little while longer so that I would appreciate coming out. As David said, and my brother Mike loves to preach, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. And that was a horrible pit that I was in. But God brought me out. Yes, he did. Wasn't until he sent me to a church service on a Friday night, my girlfriend who would pray for me when I was in that backslidden state. And she would tell me, Patricia, no matter what you've done, God still loves you. And I'd say, thank you, Nay. And she said, you're coming back to church? I said, mm-mm. Mm-mm. She said, well, I'm going to keep on praying. She had a soft, loving touch in her voice. And she kept on praying, apparently, because I came out of my horrible pit. But I went to her church service that she had, and she was speaking on that night, and she invited me. She said, Patricia, I'm preaching on Friday night. I'm the speaker. Will you please come out to the service? I said, well, I don't know. I guess I'll creep. She said, oh, you're coming. She said, because if you say, I guess I'll creep, that means, yes, I'm coming. She said, and if you had said, I don't know, she said that meant, no, I'm not coming. They learned some of the things I said to kind of know which way I was headed. So I got there to the church, and her message was admit it and quit it. And I admitted that night to God. I said, God, I'm tired of this. I'm done. And I left the church that night. I was finished with that bondage. I was finished with that pit. And although the enemy tried and he tried and he tried to get me back into that pit, but I stood tall and faced it all. That's when I did it my way. I said, no, I can't come back. Uh-uh. See, when the Lord has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light and he bring you out of bondage, the enemy knew that if he could get my mind, I would not be in this spot I am today bringing this message on Blog Talk Radio. But because of the teachings that I was taught from a child, that call upon the Lord. He's able. He's able. Getting back to Job, enough about me, getting back to Job. Job told his foolish wife, though he slay me. Job spoke these words, though he slay me. The psalmist said to us, trust in the Lord and do good. Lean not to your own understanding. Let's go to Proverbs. I'm just about finished. Dr. Scott, God has revamped my message again. I thought that I was going to come out of the third chapter of the Proverbs book, and I had sent out Dr. Scott, I left him a voicemail saying, pay attention and jot down the things that I'm reading because I feel in my spirit. See, it wasn't God's spirit that I was feeling my own spirit. Because all I'm going to do today is just read the third chapter of Proverbs. And I said, I want you to elaborate on what I read. I said, so pick up the nuggets when you hear something. Make a note of it so that when I'm done, then you can take it and go forward with it. But whether he got that message or not, it's null and void now because, God, again, I give myself away so that you can use me. I recall when I said yes to the Lord and I kept on messing up. See, they won't tell the truth. People like me because I'm transparent. I'm real. I ain't got no time to be lying to you. If you want the Lord, you want him. If you don't, you won't. I'm not going to try to make it like every day is Sunday and you won't have any aches and pains and you won't have any sorrows. You won't have any crosses to bear. No, I'm not telling you that lie. That's a fairy tale. Nobody lives like that unless you're in a fairy tale. You're in the land of make-believe. But in the real life, you're going to have some pains. You're going to have some sorrow. You're going to have some disappointments in your life. You're going to lose some friends along the way that you trusted with all your heart. Those are going to happen. Even lose some family members, too. Don't forget them, Joe Knuckleheads, please. Don't forget them. May get fired from your job, and when you were right, but still they let you go and kept the one that was wrong. These things, it's real. It's a reality. But we got to trust in the Lord. We got to be taught how to go to God when we need help. Cry out to the Lord. And when I get on the air, I give myself away. I yield them right away to the Holy Spirit. It's not about my agenda. I applaud the preachers, whether they're male or female. Doesn't matter. I applaud them that can sit down and write out their sermon verbatimly. They can say it from what they wrote on the paper, and they get up and they follow that script. God bless you. That's not me. I can write stuff down, but when I get up, I yield right away to Jesus Christ. Because you know, what I might have been studying was for me. And maybe God will allow me to give you some of what I was studying. But he knows just how much we need and when we need it. And if he left, not if, when he left, the 90 and the 9 and said, I've got one missing. You all stay here. Let me go and get the one that's missing. Well, you may be the one today that's missing from the flock. Out of the ark of safety where the enemy can devour you because you don't have sense enough to lead yourself in the pathway of righteousness. So the enemy will lead you on the other side of righteousness. Had a television program used to be called Emptiness. The enemy will lead you on the side of emptiness. And not righteousness. How can an unrighteous lead you to right? You can't do that. The left foot can never be the right foot. It will always be the left foot. Even though you look at little children, God knows in heaven, they can put those shoes on wrong. They will put the right shoe on the left foot and the left shoe on the right. And you can look at it and see that it's wrong. Why is it that that's so noticeable that the right shoe does not belong on the left foot and is so out of place? It is so noticeable. But we can't recognize that the enemy is leading us to the left of what's right. My God, I like this word today, Dr. Scott. I'm a teacher, not so much a preacher. Sometime I hoop. But my Father in the gospel was a teacher. And I got fed off of the teaching. Jesus was a teacher as well. He would lead them beside the water and sit them down and feed them. He would teach them the word. The disciples said, Master, teach us. Teach us. Yes, we preach now. We ran up. And I applaud those that can ramp up. That's really not me. I just want you to be in a quiet storm so that you can come out the winner. at the finishing line. I'm almost done. We read Job, I believe, Job 42. Oh, Lord, here I go. Here I go, Doc. Let's go. Job 42. Ah, Jesus, I thank you. Job 42. Dr. Scott. God's going to give me a reader that's on the program with me. This is, listen to this, and I'm going back to Proverbs because I want you to hear that too. Job 42 says, repentance and restoration. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did, not understanding things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I humble myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. God is praising Job as his servant who has spoken what's right after all that he was going through. Mm-hmm. Now, therefore, take for yourselves bulls and seven rams. Go to my servant, Job. You hear us say God will make the devil bless you? God will make your enemy, you know, he said, sit right here, sit down. Don't move. As my grandmother would say, don't move another feather. In other words, don't move. Sit still. Pastor Henry's grandmother said, sit down somewhere. Well, sit down. God has said, be still. Know that I am God. But sit right here, Pastor Benjamin. Sit right here, Blog Talk listener. Sit down, Dr. Scott. Don't move. Another father. Don't go anywhere till I make your enemy, the one that's against you, your footstool. Sit down. Let me work this for you. I'll show you the results in the end. No, you don't know right now what's going to be the outcome of it, but sit down. Let me fix this for you. Your enemy, the one who tried to take you out, the one that tried to work in the dark with scuba dust and rubber dust and all that stuff, the one who's been so wicked towards you, against me. Sit down. Sick of this. Sit down. And what's going to happen when you sit down? Sit here and let me, watch me, make your enemy bow down to you. Make them your footstool. You can put your feet on them, but you got to sit down. And let me do this. Lord, you know what? I wonder how long could I go on with the word of God, because I'm excited. And I love when I get excited about the word of God. Maybe that's why I'm on Blog Talk Radio, because this is my time. This is my radio station, and I only have a certain amount of time, but I'm utilizing what time I have. Oh, I love it. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. Look at this. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, and my servant Job has. Lord, help us today. And Bildad, the Shunammite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I'm stopping right there, Job 42:9. That was the end of that right there. Well, 10 rather. I'll stop at 10. Where it lets you know, because he blessed the Lord with his mouth. He didn't curse God like that foolish wife of his told him to do. But still, Job had one more thing to do before God gave him restoration. And I just read it. Had one more thing to do. And that was to pray for his friends. Who was his enemies? They were against Job. They didn't have anything good to say about God. Look at him. A fool. He served this God. Now look at him. Oh, he sinned. He messed up. He must have committed adultery. Oh, maybe he didn't commit adultery. Maybe it was incest. Maybe he was laying with his children. Maybe he went out and laid with his animals as if they were human. That's us trying to speculate what we don't understand, what we don't know about, so we're going to put it in our terms, and we're going to say bad things that, honey, God ain't fair. I don't want to serve a God like that, honey. Here, this man, he's sold out for him, and all this stuff happened. Do I want that God? No, I don't, honey. I'd rather live for the devil first, who gave me the lottery last week. I hit the lottery for $500, and all I bought was a dollar scratch off, and I had $500 on my ticket, and here Job ain't got nothing, honey. Job ain't got no food. He ain't got no wife, no cattle, no churn. All his churn is gone. All his help is gone. Everything gone. And I want a God like that. Ah, you didn't speak right of me. Now, in order for you to get straightened out with me, it ain't about Job. In order for you to get straightened out with me, God, I thank you. I love how you use me. Because I yield myself to you. In order for you to make it with me. It ain't about Job no more. Get your mind off Job. You got to deal with me now. But there's only one right now that can help you. My son haven't died yet, Jesus. Jesus hadn't died during this time. He hadn't come to the earth yet. So there was one that the Lord would hear at that moment. That was his servant, Job. You got to go to my servant who never said anything bad about me with all that he was dealing with, all that he was going through. Now, if Job don't pray for you, you won't make it. But I got one more thing that has to be done. Now, the devil's not doing this. God is in charge now. I got one more thing for Job to do. I'm going to see if he realizes how loyal he really is to me. Now, this is my version. This is the revelation God giving me. Now, you're a better theologian than I am. Well, then you fix it your way. But this is the way God's giving it to me. Got one more mountain to move, not climb. Because he told us to speak to the mountain and it will move. Now, but Job got one more thing to do to prove how much he loved God. I'm going to send them enemies in his presence. The ones that came and looked at him and laughed at him. Said, look at this fool laying up here with nothing that he's still talking about. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He done lost. He done bumped his head. He done lost his mind. He better go in and try to hit the lotto or something. He better go on down to that store and steal. You know what David said. David told him, said, Lord, if you make me poor, I'm going to steal. If you make me rich, I'm going to forget about you. He better try to act like he know. That's what he better do. He better try to act like he know. Running around here all crazy talking about God, this and God is good and God is great and the Lord is good and all the time God is good. Yeah, right. Look at him now. Look at your God now. It's just like the devil. Be careful what you're saying. Because a time will come that the very one that you put down and talked about going to be the one that you got to go through that one more river to get to the other side of your restoration. Lord, I thank you, Dr. Scott. I sure hope you're recording it. Look here. One more river to get to your restoration. His river was, I got to pray for them. Well, Jesus said it in the New Testament. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Pray for them. And I hear too many times, huh, I ain't got nothing else to do with her. Who? I don't fool up with them people. I ain't got nothing else to say to him. Who? Huh, they done me dirty. Who? I'm not me. I'll hella freeze over first before I give her a piece of bread. Huh? Yes, it will. Well, God said, love your enemy. I ain't talking about what God said. Shoot. God's feelings won't hurt. She didn't run with God's husband. With mine. Who? I wouldn't care if a crippled crab run over her with six crutches. But you want to be restored. So, let me get back in here to my word. I'm almost done, Dr. Scott. You hear this every week, don't you? Thank you, Jesus. So, as the story goes, and the Lord restored Job after he prayed now. Remember now, he prayed for them. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, let's step over here in this third chapter of Proverbs, and I am closing with this. Let's start with chapter 3, and I'm going to close with verse 6, Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my laws, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Keep his commandments. Let your heart keep his commandments. You'll have long days and long life. Peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Keep them close to you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Put love and mercy around your heart. Put truth around your heart and your neck. Write them. Keep them close to you. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. God will esteem you, and he will allow man to esteem you. Let's extol God and esteem him. And then God will, again, tell you, sit down, let me make your enemy your footstool. He'll have people bless you that don't like you. I know that for a fact. Let me close this word out. Lord, I thank you for your word. Sweet Jesus. Trust, that's verse number 5, in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The King James said lean not to your own, but this is my new spirit-filled Bible that I read from, my new, spirit-filled life Bible. So the wording is just a little different. Lean not your own understanding. And I'm closing with verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, the Lord. I put that there, the Lord, him. And he shall direct your paths with an S, because there's going to be many paths that you're going to come through along the way. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and he is the only one that qualified to direct your paths. Why? Because he did it his way. He made you in his image. And he knows what paths we need to take. So we have to acknowledge that I am nothing but mortal. God is everything. And he knows what lies ahead. He knows that I need to put the left shoe on the left foot. He knows that I need to put the right shoe on the right foot. And then I'll be walking straight in the paths of righteousness that he has for me. When I cross up my shoes, I head down a path that's not good for me, and then I get myself in trouble, and then I have to wait on the Lord to deliver me. But why go through that when you can go down the paths of which the Lord have established for your feet to go down? Trust in the Lord. Be like Job. Unmovable, steadfast, unmovable, always. Be like Job. Have forgiveness in your heart so that when you have to pray for your enemy, you'll be able to pray for your enemy. And then restoration will come. See, it's a shame that Sister Job didn't trust God the way her husband did. She did not reap. When God restored, she wasn't there. She was somewhere with the devil. And he was probably laughing at, see what happened, you fool. You didn't even have to open your mouth, but you listened to me. And now look, look here, girl, look what God did for him. He got more now than he had when you were with him. Wouldn't you love to enjoy them riches? Great, then I'm on. Look at Joe. Wow, he looked good too. God added 50 years on to it. He don't even look old. Hey, you sitting up here with me with nothing. Didn't you read the word at all where it said that I come to steal, kill, and destroy? You didn't read that? Next time you will, but it's too late now, gotcha. As Al Sharpton often say on his program, I gotcha. That's what the devil said to Sister Job. I gotcha. Look at your man. Look what his God did. Restored him with more than what he had. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and the people of God say, let the church say amen. Thank you for being on board with us again today. Amen.
I give myself away.
Whoa.
I give myself away.
Oh,
so you can use me.
Oh.
I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen
if
a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
My life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
Sugar and 4 calories, there's nothing holding you back. Fits your pocket, fits your backpack, fits your on-the-go life, whether you're going to work, going on vacation, or just going out with friends. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.